I apologize for the technical difficulty. I'm a little handicapped. My video buddy here at McClinney Church, which is my son, I don't do well without him in these kind of broadcasts. And also, so a couple of apologies up front. So I'm not broadcasting from a device that we normally use at our church. I'm using my phone. So I apologize for any inadequacies. And if you could see the kind of contraption that we have the phone captured in here, it's hard for me to really tell where the camera is. So I will do the best to see you and to try to see you through the camera. There may be some disconnect, but maybe you can hear me. And that's the most important part, whether you can see me or no. If there's a message to be heard, we trust that you'll be able to hear it and that God will bless it. So let's all please pray to that end. Also, I want to give by way of apology. I'm being treated by a doctor with some eye issue that I have. It's not great. It's a small thing. But I'm taking some medication that in the presence of light, it makes me squint. I filter the light in the absence of sunglasses. I chose not to wear sunglasses. And I hope, I certainly hope that that does not prove distracting this evening. I love you all. It's a special privilege to be with the wonderful brothers and sisters at Union Church in Ruth, Mississippi, and others who have gathered in. We're so thankful for Brother Mark Quarles for his precious prayer. I told someone recently, I just love to hear Brother Mark preach. I love hearing his voice in prayer. But let me say, I just love Brother Mark Quarles' voice. I told someone recently, I think that I would just listen to him read the telephone book. He has the most wonderful voice. What a blessing. Surely what a blessing is to God's people. I'm thankful for your pastor at Union Church. Brother James Conley is a very kind and hospitable brother. It's one of the qualifications of a minister to be given to hospitality. And I don't know of a kinder, more hospitable man among our people today than James Conley. And I'm so thankful for him and his dear family and the blessing that I know he's been to Union Church. But I'm so thankful to be with Union Church. I remember going to Union Church when I was just a little boy with my father. He loved to go to Old Union. And I was probably 7 or 8 years old the first time I ever went there, just a little boy. And he was so excited to go to the meeting. I remember we were getting ready to go, and he said, "You're going to enjoy going there." I said, "Well, where is it?" He said, "Well, it's a little drive." Let me say, at 7 or 8 years of age, from South Central Florida to Mississippi, I didn't know where the end of the world was, but by the time we got there, I felt like we had found it, a little boy in the car for that long. But it was so worth it when we got there. And I've had the sweet privilege of going back over the course of the years, and I have enjoyed some of the sweetest times in my Christian experience among you all. I love you all dearly, and I miss those certainly that have been there that have gone on to be with the Lord. I'm so sorry for your loss this week, and our prayers are with you. But I think of all those precious saints that are new and that are worshiped with, and that we lifted up our voices together, and I look forward to the day when our voices will join their voices again in worlds on high. Now, please pray for me. Do pray for me sincerely. This evening, I would like to hit a middle C. You may not understand what I mean by that. Let me share. As I thought, as I contemplated what to share with you this evening, there is so much upheaval, and I'm not going to speak to that. We hear enough of that. You can turn on the news after we're through and hear all of the upheaval that you want to hear, but it's at a level. God's people are discomfited, in a way that I've never seen them before. I've never observed them in all my time on the face of the earth, and my heart is broken for them. I hate to see God's people faced with the lack of surety in our government, in our economic system, in our medical system. So many areas where there is so much, it appears, chaos and confusion. So tonight we're going to go back to a middle C. What does that mean? Well, if you're a great musician, you know that musicians will often use a middle C to either pitch their song or tune their instrument. Back in the 1940s, there was a shepherd in Wyoming. He had sheep in Wyoming, and he played the violin, an old shepherd that played the violin in Wyoming. He had trouble tuning his violin because he didn't have any way to get a middle C. He'd tune off of that middle C. If he could get the middle C, he could tune his violin. If he could hear a good, clear middle C, he wrote in to the National Public Radio and asked them if they would play at a certain time each Saturday a middle C. If they just send a middle C out, he could get his instrument tuned. And the National Public Radio for 40 years at a certain time on Saturday, in honor of that old shepherd seeking a middle C, played the middle C so folks could tune their instruments around our nation. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is our middle C. We can tune our lives to the message of what Christ has done for us. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. He is my middle C. I want to read to you from the book of Micah, and we'll move along now very quickly. Micah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, and I hope we're able, by God's grace, to sound a gospel middle C from these passages. Micah chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. The prophet Micah says, the Lord, through the mouth of the prophet Micah, says, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. Now here he's speaking about his covenant people, not the man Jacob, but the people called Jacob, his covenant people, the children of Israel. It's a covenant title for his people. And he said, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee, without the loss of one. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozra, as a flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. When he gathers them together, all of Jacob, they'll make a great noise. Why is that? And how will he do it? The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate, and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. Now, without question, this portion of Micah's prophecy had specific reference historically to the nation of Israel and the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. The Lord God in judgment dispersed his chosen people among the Gentiles. In chapters 1 and 2, the Lord had threatened very severe judgment, and things did not look very good for the children of Israel. It was severe and just judgment, punishment because of their relentless ungodliness, idolatry, and eagerness to follow false prophets rather than those men of God that the Lord had faithfully sent to them and spoke the word of God plainly. Yet, beloved, and let us remember that in these days of turmoil, yet in wrath, God remembers mercy. He promised those disobedient Jews, he promised them deliverance, undeserved, merciful deliverance, miraculous deliverance, deliverance which had the unmistakable stamp of divinity upon it. And the deliverance promised was clearly designed and executed as a picture of something far greater. You see, the entire story, this story, and remember, everything in the Old Testament, everything, every single thing in the Old Testament is always a picture of something that is far greater than itself. The Apostle Paul told the church of Rome that those things which were written aforetime were written for our learning in the New Testament, that we through them, looking at those stories, could apply them to our lives today, and through the patience and comfort of the Old Testament pictures, could have hope. So New Testament truths for our lives today are contained in these Old Testament stories. And so the entire message here is a clear picture of God's free grace in Christ and the salvation of his elect, the true Israel of God, the true covenant people of God. And it's by his free, of course, omnipotent, irresistible grace and power. And so we'll look at this remarkable prophetic description of what our Lord Jesus Christ and God's great salvation is, what it is in him, line by line, and may God the Holy Spirit this evening be our teacher. The first thing that I want you to see in this passage of Scripture is, now this is a middle C. I know you know this, but we need to sound our lives around this again. That our salvation is sure. Notice this. First, the Lord God here, he makes a promise and assures all of us of its accomplishment. He promises to save all of his covenant people. Notice how emphatic he is in this. He said, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. What a promise that is. Blessed assurance. Clearly, ultimately, this word of promise, ultimately, this word of promise in Micah cannot be applied ultimately to the physical nation of Israel. Many of that physical nation died in Babylon. Many others did not return from Babylon, but chose to remain in the land of their captivity. So this promise ultimately must refer to another group of people and to another deliverance. And indeed it does. Here our God promises us in this prophecy that he will save all of his elect, all of, as Paul calls them, the true Israel of God. God promises to gather all of Jacob, all of his covenant family, all of Abraham's spiritual seed. And if you've been born again, blood bought and spirit taught by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're a part of Abraham's spiritual seed. What he's telling us, that every child of grace, every sinner, that Christ Jesus came in the fullness of time to save by his blood, they will be gathered without the loss of them. And it's not just the Jews that he was speaking of in Micah. No, this prophecy far exceeds them. You remember what Jesus said in John 10:16, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's a sweet promise, isn't it? I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of these. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. And it was a great comfort for God's people in the teeth of the terrible storm that was about to befall them as they were gone off into captivity, into Babylonian captivity. What incredible comfort to hear from God that he's going to gather all of his people. What a great comfort it is today for us in the terrible storms that have gathered in our nation and in our lives. It's God's intent to comfort his saints, my friends, with his word of assured grace and brace their hearts for the bitter days that are about to come upon them. Take God's word to your heart, my precious brother. Take it to your heart, my precious sister. No matter how bleak the day may seem, matter how dark the night may be, no matter how tempestuous the storm may be, the Lord God says, they shall be gathered effectually by the grace of God unto Christ Jesus, their Savior. They shall now begin to find, and they're going to be gathered. I sat with a couple for 3 hours last night in their home, and they were trying to understand the doctrines of grace, election and predestination. Let me tell you, friends, while they were wondering over those things and we came to irresistible grace, friends, they begin to rejoice. They begin to get happy as I told them that the Lord's not going to lose any of his, that what he begins with, he ends with, and everyone that the Father gave to the Son, that many, the Holy Spirit is going to gather them, all of the covenant people of God. He shall not fail, neither shall he be discouraged. He is going to send forth judgment unto victory, and God's going to have all of his people because he's going to gather them. And you say, well, what does that mean, Brother David, that God's going to gather? I don't understand what that means. Yes, you do. If you've been quickened and born again by divine grace, my friends, you know what it means. You can remember in your own life whenever you weren't. Some of you can. Now, some of you can't ever remember a time when you didn't love the Lord. But there's some of you, my friends, can remember that there was a time when you didn't enjoy and you didn't love the things of God. Can't you think now, friends, how that today you love things that you used to hate and you hate things that you used to love? There's some of you that said you'd never find a seat in the old Baptist church if you just get away from your mother and father. They wouldn't have to worry about you in the old Baptist church anymore. Well, what changed? What's the difference? The difference is God gathers his people. You've been gathered by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the day of which the Lord spoke in Micah, that there is one fold for the Lord's sheep, and in it, in this one fold that he promised and that he spoke about in John chapter 10 and in Micah chapter 2, in this fold, you'll find Jews and Gentiles, you'll find rich and poor, you'll find old and young, bond and free, male and female, black and white, and there is one shepherd over them, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. Oh, we'll read on. He says, and I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah. This covenant people that he's going to gather together. Listen to how he's going to bring them together. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah. Bozrah was a place that was well known for its lush and rich pastures. The Lord God is saying that when he's gathered his sheep, the good shepherd's going to take care of them and everything that they need. They're going to find it as he brings them to Bozrah. I can promise you that, my friends, if you're one of his sheep and he's gathered you in, you can believe you've come into a good fold and good pastures in your relationship with the good shepherd. You may not have all your wants, but I promise you that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. He has promised to give you the good pastures of Bozrah, everything that you need temporally, and everything that you need eternally, my friends. We have life and we have it more abundantly in him. He leads us into the good pastures of Bozrah, where we shall feed together in the comfort and the absolute security and in sweet unity and affection as one sheep and one fold with one shepherd. What a great God. No wonder we sing, hallelujah, what a Savior. And he says then, I will bring them out from the people. I will gather them from countries, and I will bring them to their own land. This is what he says. Notice now, this is Ezekiel 34. This is what the good shepherd's going to do. This is how he's going to gather his people in Ezekiel 34. I'll bring them out from the people. I'll gather them from the countries. I'll bring them to their own land, and I'll feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. He's going to lead us. He's going to take care of us. He says, I'll feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall be their fold, and they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I'm telling you, friends, as a little boy, I began following the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I follow my Savior, friends, it's been fat pasture as I followed him. Now, let me say this. I've strayed from the way at times, and it wasn't fat pasture then. But whenever I'm content in his fold, when I'm content with what the Savior has for me as my shepherd, as his covenant child, it's been the fat pastures of Bozrah. Had it been that way in your life? And then, after our sure salvation the Lord anoints their heart and he comforts their souls with this truth. He brings up someone that is called the breaker. And I want to pay attention now for just a few moments, if you will, about this breaker. Who is the breaker? Well, this is the core of the Middle Sea. We're told in verse 13 that the breaker is come. And let me say just right off that the Almighty Breaker is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came up as the breaker from everlasting. He is the breaker in the covenant of grace, in the council of peace. The divine decree was made, and the Son of God stood forth as the surety of God's elect. It was he alone who was found worthy to take the book of God's eternal purpose out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. Christ alone, as the Lamb of God, slain as it were from the foundation of the world, Christ was worthy to break the seal as the great breaker. He was able to loose the seal of the book, to break it open and to fulfill its decrees. It was this same Holy One, our great breaker, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, when he found it written of him in the volume of his Father's book, the book of his decrees and the book of inspiration, that he should fulfill the law of the Lord for chosen sinners, that he cried out, "Lo, I come, I delight to do thy will, O God." Listen to what he says in Psalm 40. He said, sacrifice. Now this is the breaker telling us that he's coming to break things up. And we're going to see what they are in just a moment. But here comes the breaker speaking of himself. He said, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. My father had no delight in the blood of lambs and rams. Mine ears hast thou opened as the breaker. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And so in the fullness of time, as had been mapped out from eternity past, our all-glorious Christ came up as the breaker in this world. He came into this world to break down the wall of separation between God and his chosen, bless his adorable name, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and to open by his precious blood a new and living way by which sinners, you and I, might draw near to God. Can you believe that? That we would be welcome as sinners. We would be welcome into the presence and draw near to the thrice holy God before whom the seraphim and the cherubim hide their blushing faces in heaven. But because our breaker broke down the middle wall of partition, sinner men and women, boys and girls, can go with full assurance of acceptance on the basis of pardoned sin, my friends. And that's why Paul would say to the Hebrews, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in by the holy, into the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, because he's the breaker and he's consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh, our Lord Jesus, by his great sacrifice, forever put away all of the sins of all of his people. He forever silenced the accusations of Satan. He forever freed us from the curse and the penalty of God's law. And he forever justified and sanctified every sinner for whom he bled and died upon the cursed tree. This great work he did by himself alone. And he who knew no sin was made sin for us, breaking. And so he comes into the world. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, so that he could break our sin debt to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so because we're sons, he sends the Spirit of the Son into our hearts. And so then, after he had broken the power of sin, after he had redeemed us, after he had canceled our sin debt and broke it to pieces, nailed it to his cross, took it out of the way, after them, after that on Calvary, and he goes to the grave. After he laid in the grave for 3 days, the Almighty Breaker burst forth and come forth from the dead, bursting asunder the bars of death, hell, and the grave. See the Mighty Breaker in the morning of the resurrection, triumphing over death, hell, and the grave. Satan thought that he had done his work. All hell howled as they saw the Son of God on Calvary. Satan thought that he was successful. He thought that Christ had played into his hands on Calvary. And hell was set on fire with delight as they saw the Son of God dying, suspended between heaven and earth, and verily thought that they'd been successful. But friends, on that third and revolving morning, can you imagine the chagrin of Satan whenever Christ broke the bars of death asunder? He proved himself in the resurrection to be the breaker spoken of by the prophet Micah, passing through the gate before us, passing through the gate of death, hell, and the grave. He passed through the gate before us. That's what Micah said. As our great head, as our representative, as our Lord and King, his resurrection was a representative resurrection. He was the first fruits of them that slept, my friends. And Micah said, their king shall pass before them. Their king, think about it, friends. That's what he's doing as he comes forth from the grave. He goes through the gate of death. He goes through the bars of death for us. Our king is passing before us. He's breaking up, friends. And the Lord on the head of them, the Lord, our breaker who is the Lord, goes ahead of us. So it was not possible that death could hold this mighty breaker because he put away sin. God's Holy One could not see corruption. His Holy One would not see corruption. And so the Almighty Breaker broke through obstacles, all of the obstacles before him as I represented. He ascended on high, led captivity captive, entered into heaven, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And there, my friends, our Mighty Breaker sat down upon his throne, but he's not idling his time away. He took possession of heaven as our forerunner, and he ever lives now to make intercession for us. And he continues to be our breaker as our interceder. And us going to him and carrying our burdens, doesn't he break your burdens for you? Haven't you been to the mighty breaker in heaven in prayer and laid your burdens at his feet and had unspeakable burdens and heartaches and problems and grief and groaning broken up by this mighty breaker who's making intercession for us according to the will of his Father? And so that's not all there is. At the appointed time, in the day of his great saving power, Christ Jesus, the breaker, the almighty Savior, he breaks into the hearts of his chosen people. He didn't just break down the middle wall of partition between us and God. Didn't just break the power of canceled sin. He didn't just break the narrow limits of the tomb. And he didn't just break the bars of death. But my friends, our hearts, which were by nature hard and stony hearts, we are the broken now. Because our great breaker, sometime between conception and the grave, is coming into the heart of every chosen and redeemed sinner, and he establishes his kingdom in his people and makes them his willing subject by breaking them in the power of regeneration and the new birth. And that's why David saw this breaking work of the great breaker in the lives of his people whenever David in Psalm 65 said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. How is it that God causes his people to approach unto him? Those who were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, and had no desire for him? Because he says in Psalm 110, thy people shall be a willing people in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. I'm telling you, in regeneration, he breaks their will. He breaks the power of sin in their life. Doesn't mean they don't have sin, but he breaks the domination, complete domination of sin in them. And he speaks life to them, and they become willing in the day of his power. What a glorious God we serve. There's so much to it. There's so much I'd like to say. I don't know when I'm supposed to stop. I feel like I'm getting close, but there's a lot more that I'd like to say. Just let me finish by saying this, if I can, Brother James, just a few more minutes, if you would. Just maybe a couple of minutes. Listen, the breaker. He has been our breaker before the world was. He was appointed to be our breaker in the everlasting covenant. He was our breaker at Calvary in redemption. He's our breaker in regeneration. He's our breaker in sanctification. But soon, friends, our glorious breaker, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall come in all of his fullness as the breaker. And let me tell you, he will break through the clouds to resurrect us. And whenever the mighty breaker comes the second time without sin into salvation, all of this evil, all of this wickedness that you see, all of this darkness that you see, fret not yourself of evildoers, because the breaker's coming, my friends. And Satan may think that he's having his heyday today. And he is having it, friends. And he needs to have it today if he's going to have one, because the breaker's coming. And whenever our breaker comes in the morning of the resurrection, whenever as lightning shines from the east to the west and he makes his sudden and amazing appearing, then he's going to break down every remaining evil in the cosmos that keeps us from enjoying him and would prevent us from having our everlasting enjoyment. He's going to break evil. He's going to finally crush Satan completely. Now, let me say this. He's already, as the breaker, given Satan such a wound as he won't be recovered from it. But when he comes the second time without sin into salvation, he's going to break him. And let me say this. The breaking of Satan, when Jesus Christ comes back again, it's not going to be some great epic battle that's going to go back and forth, and then just at the end, Christ is going to pull it out just by the hair of his chin. Oh no, my friends, when Jesus comes back, our mighty breaker, it's going to be no problem for him to dispatch Satan and all the evil armies of hell into the eternal pit of everlasting shame. It's not going to be hard. How's he going to do it, Brother David? He's simply going to do it by the word of his power. He's going to do it, and he's not even going to work up a sweat whenever he breaks our ancient enemy. It's going to be by the word of his power. All he's going to have to do is say, "Depart from me, you cursed," and then Satan and all of his wicked horde are going to follow him. And when he comes, not only is he going to break Satan, but there's something else that he's going to break that's far more glorious to me. When he comes again, my friends, our mighty Samson is going to come to the gates of our prison. And what is that? Our graves. Our graves right now are our prison until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you remember, my friends, that Samson went down to that Philistine city and he ripped the gates of the city from off of the walls, and he walked up to a nearby hill and he shook them at those Philistines down into the city. Well, friends, one day the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again, our breaker, and he's going to wrest the gates of our prison. He's going to break the bars of our prison, our graves, and we're coming out, and we're coming out in his likeness. We're going to be like him as the word. We're going to be like our breaker then. We're not going to be him, but we're going to be like him. We're going to be in all glory. We're going to be conformed finally to the image of the precious Son of God. What glory, surpassing glory, is awaiting the child of God. We're going to be put on the full display of God's glory. We're going to experience it all, but all as a result of the mighty breaker, what he's done, nothing that we've done. I can promise you, every song that's sung up there will be about the Lord Jesus Christ, our mighty breaker. So friends, Let me conclude by saying, fret not yourself of evildoers. Satan is going to make a little hay while his sun shines, but there is an end. Night doesn't last always. Joy comes in the morning, and it's going to come finally in its fullness when our breaker comes. But until he comes, he's going to break whatever calamities we need broken, whatever trials you need broken. The breaker will break them for you. He's going to take care of you until he carries us home. Now, friends, that is what stabilizes my life. That truth that I've just tried to share with you. Whenever I see all of the upheaval around about us, I think about these things. That's my middle C. And I retune my life. I retune the instrument of my heart and mind and soul to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'm not so worried. I'm not so troubled. I'm sorrowful. I'm careful to pray. But I'm committing it to his care and keeping, to the mighty breaker. Thank you for letting me be with you this evening. May the Lord richly bless you all, is my prayer. For Christ's sake, we love you dearly.